Now, we got to the place where Joseph was in Pharaoh's dungeon, wasn't he? A black hole. And there was the butler of Pharaoh and the baker of Pharaoh in prison with him. And Joseph, because he was such an efficient little man, he was put in charge of them, and he had to wait on them. So when he brought them one morning their breakfast, he saw that they were looking like this, very, very, very glum. Joseph said, "What's the matter with you, mate, today?" So he said, "Well, I've had a nasty dream." He went over to the butler then, and the butler was looking like this too. You see, all depressed, right down in the dumps. Joseph said, "What's the matter with you this morning?" "Oh," he said, "I've had a nasty dream, and I've got nobody to tell me what it means." So Joseph says, "Well, you can tell it me if you like." So the butler said, "My dream was this. I saw a vine, you know, where grapes grow. And the vine had three branches on it. And the three branches had grapes on it. And I squeezed out the grapes and gave it to the king to drink, because they drank fresh grape juice then. And he said, while I was doing that, I woke up." So Joseph said, "Oh," he said, "that's easy. The dream means that in 3 days," that's the three branches of the vine, "in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head again, and you'll be put back in your office as butler. And you squeeze out the juice of grapes and other fruit for Pharaoh to drink fresh, so there's no poison in it." So when the baker saw that the dream, which the butler had had, had a good interpretation, he said, "What does my dream mean?" So Joseph says, "You tell it me, and I'll tell you what it means." "Yes," he said, "I was walking through the courtyard of Pharaoh, and I had a tray on my head with all sorts of cakes for Pharaoh on it, and the birds came and stole the cakes from the tray on my head." You see, they carry the stuff on their head there, don't they? You know, the ladies carry all the stuff on the head. So Joseph said, "Okay, is that your dream?" He said, "That's it, sir." So he said, "Well, I'll tell you what it means. The three cakes that you had on there, which the birds ate," he said, "they're 3 days, and in 3 days Pharaoh will let you out of prison and hang you on a rope till you're dead, and the birds of the air will come and eat your flesh from off your bones. That's what your dream means." Well, he was very upset about that. He wished he didn't know what the dream meant, because in 3 days Pharaoh came down himself and said, "Give me the butler." And they gave him the butler, and he took him up and restored him to his office in the kitchen. And then he said, give me the baker. And they gave him the baker, and he took him up, and he'd raised up in his courtyard a gallows on which he put the poor old baker. And they put a rope round his neck, and they strung him up and left him there until he was dead. Poor man. And the birds of the air came after he'd been there 3 or 4 days and was beginning to rot. The birds of the air came and pecked the flesh off his bones. And so there was in a few days a skeleton hanging there, because the birds had eaten him up, just as the birds had eaten his cakes up in his dream. That was the meaning of that. Well, Joseph had said to the butler and the baker, before he told them their dreams, "Now you see, the dreams come true, and one of you is restored to his office, will you do me a favor? You'll be seeing Pharaoh every day then." So they said, "If you'll tell us the meaning of the dreams, we'll do you a favor." "Well," said Joseph, "when you get back to Pharaoh, would you please tell Pharaoh that I was stolen away from a good house in Israel and sold here as a slave, and I've done nothing wrong at all. And it's Potiphar's wife, that wicked ne'er-do-well woman, that bum of a woman, that got me in here by telling lies about me. Would you tell him that? So they said they would if he'd tell them the dream. And when the butler was put back in his office to be the chief butler squeezing out the juice for Pharaoh, do you know what he did? Any of you know? He did what we often do, what I often do. He forgot. And he was happy to be out of prison, but he forgot Pharaoh, he forgot Joseph, who got him out of prison and told him how he would get out. And he never said a word. And Joseph stayed there in prison 2 or 3 years longer. And then, after he'd been in prison a long, long time, and nobody got him out, there was no court of appeal there, you know, to get you out of prison if you were a slave, because you had no rights. The Pharaoh had an awful dream, and he was so upset about it, he couldn't do his work about his dream. So they told him that there was a man in prison called Joseph who had the wisdom of God in him and he could interpret dreams. So Pharaoh said, "Where is he?" "Down in the dungeon at the bottom of that black hole. That's where he is." So Pharaoh said, "Fetch him up." Well, of course, when they sent down soldiers to fetch Joseph, they couldn't keep him in the dungeon any longer. So they fetched him up. And he came up to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh his dream. Don't you think Joseph ought to have been very bitter about being all these years in a black dungeon for having done nothing but good? Because he did Potiphar good. He gave him his dinner on time and he kept his house clean. So he ought not to have had that as a reward, ought he? Do you think he got bitter? There isn't a word of bitterness in anything he said or did afterwards when he got out of prison. Nothing at all. So you see, when we get into trouble, if we take it as the leading of God, then it doesn't make us bitter. And Joseph knew it was the leading of God who was preparing him for a high office in Egypt, in Pharaoh's kingdom. And he, you see, was in Pharaoh's prison. And that was the way of getting introduced to Pharaoh. And he got introduced to Pharaoh that way. So it was a rather hard introduction, wasn't it? But a very neat one. Well, after the butler and the baker had got out of the dungeon, the black dungeon, where Joseph had looked after them, they hanged the baker, didn't they? But the butler got back to his job again, squeezing out juice for Pharaoh. When he got back, he forgot his promise to say to Pharaoh that he should take Joseph out of prison. And he forgot for 2 whole years. And poor old Joseph was hoping every day that he'd say something to Pharaoh and save him out of his prison, you see, bring him out of prison. But he forgot all about it. Some little boys forget what they promise, you know. Some little girls, too. You've got to keep your promise. So we've got it equal, haven't we? Some little boys as well as some little girls do the same thing. Now, after 2 full years, and poor old Joseph still playing the skivvy, you know what the skivvy is, don't you? The servant. He was a servant, you say, who looked after the whole prison. He was a slave in prison. And he belonged to Potiphar because Potiphar had bought him. He was a slave. After 2 whole years, poor old Pharaoh ate something that didn't agree with him. I suppose he had a steak that wasn't quite fresh or something like that. And he had an awful dream. And he went to bed, and about midnight he woke up, all of a sweat, because he'd had such a terrible nightmare. And what he dreamed was this, that he went down to the Nile, that was the river that gave Egypt, you see, in the middle of the desert, the water it needed, and he found in the reeds surrounding the Nile that grew on the shores of the Nile, reeds and grass, he found 7 fat and sleek cows. 7 cows, all fat and juicy, you know. And they were feeding on these, on the banks of the Nile, on the grass there, and having a rare old time eating this good grass, you see, growing in the river's bank waters. And then he saw that 7 hungry, starved skeletons of cows came to the same place. And what they did was they proceeded to eat these 7 sleek, thin, skinny cows. They proceeded to eat the fat ones. And after they'd eaten the fat ones, they were just as thin, and they didn't put on any weight at all for having eaten up the 7 fat ones. And poor old Pharaoh was very, very upset with this, because he thought it was terrible to see a cow eating a cow. That really worried him, you see. So after he'd woken up and sweated it out, he went to sleep again, you know. And he had another nightmare. You see, he'd eaten too much steak that wasn't fresh. He had another nightmare, and this nightmare was different. He saw a corn of barley come out of the ground, and it had 7 ears on it. You know what an ear of barley is, don't you know what barley looks like? And it had 7 ears, and they were fat and good. And he looked at them, and then he saw growing up next to them 7 pieces, plants of barley, and they had 7 thin and skinny ears on them. Nothing at all, as though they'd been blown by the east wind, you know, cold and blighted, and no use at all, just all chaff and no corn in them. So these skinny ears of barley then proceeded to eat up the fat ones. Now it worried him, you see, in his dream, how ears of barley could eat up other ears of barley, but they did. And the poor old man, that stuck in his mind. And the next morning he came down looking all blue and grey, you know, and he called all his magicians and all the astrologers together from the whole court of Pharaoh and said, "Guys and fellows, I've had 2 dreams, and they've really upset me. Now I want you to tell me what the dreams were that I dreamt, because I've forgotten them. And I want you to tell me what they mean, because they made such an impression on me, I can't forget them. And I can't do my work for these dreams." So all the astrologers and the wise men stood there, and they said, "Look, there's a man in the prison, in your dungeon under the palace, in that black, awful dungeon, who's a young Hebrew man, and he can tell the meaning of any dreams you like to ask him." So when the butler, you know, who'd been put back in his job after being put in prison, heard that, he said, "My lord Pharaoh the king, I'm a wicked man. I promised 2 years ago that that man they've just been talking about, who's in prison, I promised him I'd mention his name to you, so you took him out and I've forgotten. Now if you go and fetch him, he'll tell you what those dreams mean, because it's very important you know what they mean." So Pharaoh, when he heard that, he said, "He's a young Hebrew, is he? And is he the slave of Potiphar, my chief guard of the court?" And they said, "Yes, he is. Go and fetch him." So they went down to prison, and the deep dungeon steps, you know, into the blackness, because there were no windows there, because they might have escaped through the windows, you see. So they didn't have any, so they couldn't escape. So they went out, and they took hold of Joseph, and put their arms under his arm, because he'd been starved all this time, you see, and he was very, very, very pale, because he hadn't seen the sun for 2 whole years in that blackness down there. And so they fetched him up, and they said, "You can't go to Pharaoh like that. you've got a beard on you like the Hebrews have, you know, a real black beard. So they took him into the bathroom, and they shaved off his beard, and they polished him up with good soap and sandstone, you know, to get all the grime out of him, because he'd been down in the coal hole all this time. And when they got him clean, they took off his rags from the prison, because he was wearing dirty dungarees. You know what dungarees are, don't you? Prison clothes. And they said, "You can't go into Pharaoh like that, man. You'll have to have some new clothes." So they fetched a tailor immediately, and at this Pharaoh's expense, you see, because he hadn't any money, poor old Joseph. And they fitted him out with a new outfit and took off all his dirty dungarees and cleaned him up nicely, and his face shone again, you see, with, you know, being rubbed and scrubbed, all that. That really did hurt him after not having washed so long, because there was no water down in this prison. And they brought him up all sleek and spruce, but hollow cheeks, you see, right hollow cheeks, because he'd been very, very short on rations for such a long time. And they brought him up to Pharaoh, and he said, "Young man, you're the Hebrew they're speaking of, isn't it? You can interpret dreams, can't you?" And he said to Pharaoh, "Oh, Lord Majesty the King, Pharaoh, I can't interpret dreams, but God's Spirit, who is in me, he'll tell you what he wants you to learn. I don't do it myself, but because he's with me, even though I've been in prison so long, he knew God was with him. So he didn't get rebellious against God because he was in a pickle." You know what in a pickle means, don't you? He was really in the soup, as the French say. So they started to chat with one another. And so Joseph said, "Now look here, Pharaoh. I know by the Spirit of the Lord God who is within me that God has wanted to tell you something good. He's going to give you a message which you need to know, and you need to know it immediately." So Pharaoh said, "What is it?" Well, he said, "Both the dreams you had about..." What was the first dream? Yeah?
The seven fat cows and the seven lean and skinny ones.
That's right. That's quite correct. Wonderful. The seven fat cows, he said, the first dream. And the seven, what was the second one? Yeah?
The corn stalks.
That's right. The seven thin ones and the seven fat ones. And what did the seven thin ones do to the seven fat ones? They ate them up. And what happened to the thin ones when they'd eaten up the fat ones? What happened to them? They didn't get fat themselves. They could eat anything and not get fat. Now, wouldn't that be nice for some people today? If you could eat anything as you like, you didn't get like this. You know? So that's... Pharaoh said, "Yes, it was just like that, Joseph. It was just like that, Hebrew boy. How did you know that?" Well, he said, "You'll understand when I tell you what it means. It means this: both dreams of the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears of corn, they're both the same. They're both telling you the same message. And I've told it to you twice. God has told it to you twice in two dreams because he wants to emphasize it that you don't forget it. Now, if I tell you anything twice, you know I don't want you to forget it, don't you?" So that's what God did. He told Pharaoh through two dreams that the two were there to say the same thing but twice. It's like underlining a word, you see. If you underline it, it means you read it twice and you don't forget it. Okay? So he said the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears of corn both mean seven good years when there will be plenty of food in Egypt. But he said, "Watch out. The seven thin ones will come after the seven fat ones and will be 7 years of no food, famine, in the land. So you'll have plenty of food for 7 years, and then you'll have no food for 7 years after that." Now, Pharaoh was the king of the country, and if a country goes into a famine, you know, you can't rule it. People get very distressed, don't they? And they get bad-tempered if they don't have anything to eat. And so Pharaoh was king. He said, well, that's really important, Joseph. What shall I do? So Joseph said, what you've got to do is this. Look out for a man, find a man in whom the wisdom of God is, and set him over the land, so that during the 7 years he can take a fifth every year of all the corn that's produced and put it into barns so that it isn't wasted. You can pay the peasants for giving you the corn, the fifth of what they get from the harvest. And then in the seven thin years, the seven years of famine, you can open the barn doors and sell the corn to the people so they won't starve. Now Pharaoh said to his servants, he said, come all ye astrologers and you wise men who couldn't tell me these dreams and what they mean. Now you tell me what I should do, where I should find a wise man to rule over the land, wiser than I am. And they said, oh Lord King, we don't know any. He said, you're useless. I won't give you any food anymore if you go on like that. So he then turned to Joseph and he said, Joseph, Hebrew boy, you're 30 years old now and you've been how many years in prison? How many years had he been a slave? How old was he when they sold him into Egypt? Did I tell you? 17 years old. So from the time he was 17 to the time he was 30, he'd been in continual slavery. Now why do you think God had put him into continual slavery? Can you tell me? I think it was this. His father had spoiled him. He was potentially a very good boy and an intelligent boy, but his father had given him everything he wanted, even the coat of many colors he'd had from his father. And the boy was thoroughly spoiled and wasn't capable of anything. So God sold him into slavery. God did it. Although it was wicked of his brothers to sell him, God let him there to harden him off a bit, to make him capable of being, of occupying an office in Egypt later on. And when he was 30, God had finished his education. You see, before I got my education done, you know, I had to work at the university till I was 40. It takes time till you get your degrees, you know. I took my last degree when I was 45. Now, Joseph was 30 when Pharaoh discovered him and hauled him out of the prison and put decent clothes on him and shaved him and made him look nice. So Pharaoh said, where is the man who's wiser than Joseph? Because if this wisdom of God can tell us that we're going to have 7 years famine and then 7 years plenty and then 7 years famine, if God can tell him that and he passes it on faithfully to me, you must be a faithful man. So Joseph said, yes, well, okay, I want to be faithful, but I'm nothing else than a Hebrew slave, you know, now. So Pharaoh said to him, you're no longer a slave. I, Pharaoh, have freed you. And you will be the next in the kingdom after me. The only thing that's above you is the throne itself, and that's Pharaoh's throne. Now, to prove that, do you know how they proved that? That he meant that seriously? Do you know?
Pharaoh would give him his ring?
Yes, that's right. They had a sealing ring on their fingers, which if you printed it into wax, it put the Pharaoh's initial in the wax. And that was the sign that you've got the authority. So he took Joseph on the spot. And Joseph, after all these years, 13 years, he'd been a slave. Joseph was capable of ruling the country. He wasn't capable until he'd been had all that spoiltness taken out of him. That knocked it out of him. You see, he was wrongly attacked by Potiphar's wife, and he was wrongly put into prison by Potiphar's wife, and the butler had forgotten him all those years, 2 more years in the dungeon. 2 years is a long time, isn't it? And he was ready to be a man. You understand what I mean when I say a man of steel? It strengthened his character and made him capable of not being Weichling is the word I'm after, not being a weak person. It has made him a man of iron, you see, a man of strong will. So Pharaoh took him, and he gave him his own ring off his finger with the seal on it of the kingdom. If you did that, you could get anything you wanted. And Joseph had his ring. Put it on his finger immediately. The slave became a king in one go. That was quick, wasn't it? After he'd shown that God's wisdom was in him. So then Pharaoh wasn't finished. He said, wait a minute, Joseph, I'm not ready with you. Wait a minute. And he had a golden ring round his neck, like the mayors of cities have here. You know, they have a ring which shows their office of being mayor. Bürgermeister is what they call them in German. And he took off his golden ring. He had a little clip at the back, you see, and he undid that. And he put it on Joseph's neck. So Joseph went out of that room with Pharaoh's ring on his finger and showed he had the same authority as Pharaoh himself. Only in the throne itself was Joseph, was Pharaoh higher than Joseph. Well, he went out then when he was 30. How many years was he a slave? Yeah? 17. Ah, oh, wait a minute. Is this a mathematical error or is it a mathematical error of your memory? He was 17 when they sold him into Egypt for 20 pieces of silver, or whatever it was. And he was 30 when he came out of the black hole under Pharaoh's palace. So that's how many years?
15.
Come along, get it right, so we have it on the record that it's right. 13, that's right. You think how long had he been a slave? That's right. Repeat it. I just wanted to get it sure. That's 13. All. Yes, and you? 13. 13, okay. We're all agreed on that one. Fine. So Joseph went out then, and Pharaoh put him on his own horse, because the Egyptians had nice horses, you know, chariot horses. And so they lifted up Joseph onto Pharaoh's saddle on the horse and planted him there. And he made some people, some Egyptians, run in front of him to say, this is the ruler of Egypt. And they all had to bow down to the ground when Joseph went by. You see, so his dream that the moon and the stars and all the rest of it would bow down to him, he says he thought of that dream when they all bowed down to him and said, this is the ruler of Egypt. See, God had prepared him by all these terrible things, years in the black hole, and the lies that Potiphar's wife told about him. God had used those to strengthen his character, to make him capable of occupying the office of Pharaoh. So he went through all Egypt, and everybody bowed down, and he had Pharaoh's ring on his finger. So when he said, you build me a corn house here to steal corn, to store corn, he just simply got the wax, you see, and put his ring on it like that. And everybody went to work and built the corn house that he wanted. And then he went to the people, the peasants there who grew the corn, and he took out of Pharaoh's treasury, because he had a treasury where all the gold was kept, and paid them in gold for the fifth of their harvest that they produced every year. And having done that, he went through the land and he built so many corn houses in every city, and you can see the remains of them in Egypt today, where Joseph did that. And he stored up enough corn till they couldn't count the tons of corn that Joseph stored. Now, when Pharaoh saw that, he was highly delighted, and he knew that Joseph's God was a God of truth, because the 7 years of plenty started. And after the 7 years were by, they filled the whole land of Egypt with corn houses full of corn.
When they fixed Joseph up, you know, and shaved his beard and stuff, did they give him any food?
Oh, yes, he had all Pharaoh's food there. He started to get fat, in fact, because Pharaoh said, you see, you want a wife now. He said, you want a household to look after you. You mustn't go on starving like this. So they gave him a wife, and the wife was the daughter of the priest of On. And she was a nice woman, and she had two children by him. And in the first years of their, when Joseph was ruler of Egypt, one was called Manasseh, and the other was called Ephraim. Remember the names? Manasseh and Ephraim. They were the sons of Joseph. And the first name means, God has allowed me to forget my father's house. And then he's been, the second name was, he has allowed me to prosper in the land of my affliction. Okay? Those were the two kids he had, yes?
Did they ever find
Did they ever? Ring? What was, I didn't understand the word you said.
Did people ever find his ring?
His ring? Oh, I expect it would be in some museum or another. I haven't seen it myself, but the ring of Pharaoh was a very, very important office because it gave the authority of the whole kingdom to the man who owned it.
How about like the necklace thing?
Oh, the necklace thing, that was his sign of office, you see, like the mayor of the city, when he wants to go out and inspect the city, he puts the...
Did, like, anyone, have they found that?
I don't think they are. They may have done, I don't know, but I expect it'll be there. Unless they lost it when Pharaoh was drowned in the Red Sea. You know they found the Pharaoh, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
The one who was lost in the Red Sea, and they identified him because they couldn't mummify him, because he was full of water, you see. He'd been drowned. Yeah.
That ring was just one gold ring?
Well, it's what's called a sealing ring. A seal ring. And they had a little sort of packet on it which made an impression into wax when you put it in wax, and it was the sign, the signature of Pharaoh.
Oh, the ring he wore around his
neck. Yeah, that's right. They found rings like that, but I don't know where they found the actual one that Joseph wore. Yeah.
The ring around his neck, was it like one big ring that went like that, or...
Well, it was probably a chain of little plates, you see, golden plates that they used to have in those days. You want to go into the museum, you guys, sometime, and have a look at the ancient Egyptian style they've got, because they buried all these things with the pharaohs, you see, in the pyramids. And if the pyramids hadn't been plundered, you can find all the jewelry they had. So whether they found that of Joseph, I don't know, whether somebody stole them or not. But anyway, that's how it worked out.